Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Mothers and Daughters at the Round Table. I'm your host, I'm Dr. Bessie, and we're at the Round Table on Blog Talk Radio with Mothers and Daughters around the world. Kind of came in on the backside. Just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank God for you taking time out of your busy schedule and joining us this morning, and it means a lot to me, of course, and my co-host, Cynthia. And we get up on Saturday morning, we get up with a mission, we get up with a cause, we get up to serve God on Saturday morning. It's not like we don't have other things to do, but we know there's nothing that is more important than do the will of God. So I just want to thank each of you for getting up with us and tuning in. And I know you're busy and you got things to do, but you're taking the time out to hear what the Lord has to say, what he's putting on our hearts to share with mothers and daughters around the world. And with that being said, Father God, right now I just want to thank you. I thank you for I thank you for your love. I thank you for health and strength, blessing us in so many different ways. Blessing us, Father, when we don't even know the things that you're doing because we're so focused on other things. And Father God, this morning, I just want to say a special thank you for my father. I'm sorry, I did not mean to do this morning. But anyway, I want to thank you for my father. And I want to thank you for blessing him all of these years. And giving him a good life, Father. He's had a good, good life. The man in our life. And, you know, I cannot say anything, I mean nothing that I can say about my daddy. Nothing other than good things, other than love, because that's what he showed me. And he's demonstrated that throughout his life with so many people. And I just thank you. I mean, you know, he's not in any pain. You're just taking care of him. And the people out here that don't know my father is making this transition. And, you know, it really is, even though we know we got to do it, you know, that little part in us that's a little selfish, don't want it. You don't want it to happen. You don't want him to go. And but you know. But see, Father God, I just want to thank you for loving me enough. You told me last week that I want you to be prepared. And I thank you for sharing that with me. I can't share everything that he told me, but I knew, and he showed me the sign. But yeah, it's still not easy. The flesh don't want to give in. But, Father, I thank you. I thank you for mothers and daughters around the world. I thank you for helping us to grow strong families, strong children, fathers and sons and mothers and daughters that will work in the kingdom, that will do good work, that you could say, welcome my good and faithful servant, and all is well, you know. Thank you this morning. I ask you to give strength to Angie and Jared and Josh and Fella and the entire family, that they all know that you're in control, your will be done, and we're going to rejoice because we know that you're God and there is no wrong in you. There is no wrong in you. But I ask for special strength for Angie this morning, Father, because her heart, that's her heart. I know she loves me, but that's her heart. And I know you'll do that. Thank you in Jesus' name. Good morning, good morning. I did not mean to start off with a sad note there. I said, Bessie, you're not going to get on there crying. You're not going to. I'm going to try to do the show today. I'll go as far as I can go, and if it gets to the point where I can't, then you know we're going to have a short show. Even though I had Cynthia on the background, I still have to work the switchboard, so I thought, you know, I'm going to do what I can do, and I wanted to do the show today because, you know, you got to trust God. We have got to trust God. And this whole thing is about love. The show, and God, I told you a couple weeks ago that God had placed on my heart that he wanted us to start doing a love series. You know, it's about love. It's about love. Loving together. And, wow, the more I look at it now, I'm thinking, Lord, I'm telling you, you set the stage and you always set it right. So we're here at the round table. You know, get your pen and paper and sit back and relax. We're going to talk a little bit about love and the importance of love and how love will actually keep us through anything. Love is the strength that will keep us going because of love. And because of the love of God for us, we can love others. You know, you might want to just text your friends or call your friends and tell them to come on and listen today. Somebody's going to be blessed. 539-5078. That's 347-539-5078. To listen to the program, click 1 if you want to join the conversation later. Like I say, sit back, relax, and write down something, because what we're talking about is something that God has asked us to do, one to each other. And we cannot love someone else. We got to first love ourselves. We got to love God. But you cannot give love if you don't have love. You got to know love. You got to feel love. You got to be about love. First of all, you got to know God love you. Once you get that, then you get a better understanding of love. Love is ever, ever unfolding. It's never just one thing, one destination. Love is growing. Love is giving, love is taking, love is understanding. It's your heart beat, the blood that flows through your veins. You got to know that you know that you know that you know that you're working out of love. And everything else is going to be okay. Everything else will be okay. Our stimulating topic this morning is a dedication to my daddy. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to do this program today as a dedication. Again, I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie, and we're here at the round table with mothers and daughters around the world. If you'd like to get in touch with me, you can email me at drbessie1@gmail.com. That's drbessie@gmail.com, drbessie1@gmail.com. Of course, again, our stimulating topic is a dedication to my daddy. But before we get back into that, for most of you know that our program, we are constantly talking about mothers and daughters because that's our ministry. You know, we, you know, God will appoint people to do various things. And we have to learn, as sometimes Cynthia and I say, stay in your lane. You know, we have to stay in our lane. And I've been known in the past to get all out of my lane and want to address these issues and that issue and, you know, and really, just really out of order because God didn't ask me to do those things. You know, someone come along and, well, you know, Dr. Bishop, if you could come over here and do this, and I'm like, okay, well, maybe you might want to do this program, just taking advice from everybody, but, you know, sticking to what the plan is. The plan is mothers and daughters. That's your plan. So this morning, when I was thinking, I said, Holy Spirit, what are we talking about today? And he just simply told me, dedication to your daddy. You know, and I'm thinking, wow. It's okay when you get permission because you're still in the plan. Now, I don't have to justify that, but that's just the truth. Our platform for you newcomers that are on that may have not been on the program before, we are based off Ezekiel 16:44, and it says, as is the mother, comma, so is her daughter. And that's from what? From which we come, I will say it that way. You know, we're talking about as is the mother, so is her daughter. And it's so simple that everybody can get it. There's no gray areas in there. It's just plain. It's a fact. You say it, you get it. Don't change it. Don't add anything to it. No what if or but and whatever. It's just what it says. And that's from the Bible. I didn't write it. You can go to Ezekiel 16:44. Read it for yourself. Talk to God about it. That's his wording. Maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, God has said to me, I want you to do a series on love. On love. Now, we've done a series on love a few years ago. We've been on this radio for 5.5 years. And one day God said to me, do you know how many in the year? And I bet you we've probably not been on the air maybe 5 or 6 times out of that whole time. But 52 times 5.5, you know, it lines up to a lot of shows. And many of them, when you go back and look at them, they were based on love. Because for 1.5 years, God had us on hidden secrets, you know, the hidden secrets in the family and things that we didn't want anybody else to know. But it also, in order to forgive, that was the next part of the series, and it brought us to love. And we did love for a while, and then now God has us back on love. Sometimes I feel like he put me back in this love mode because he knew what I would be facing at this time in my life. And he wanted me to know that he loved me, that he loved us, and that he's here. And we have to know that we know that we know that God loves us. That's the only way you're going to get through any situation. Nothing else is going to do it. It's going to have, you're going to have to be wrapped up in the spirit of love and knowing that the Holy Spirit is going to guide you, going to walk you through anything, and know that all things, nothing happens without the will of God. God knows about it. And sometimes God will allow you to go through because you need to go through because of decisions you've made. You know, he forgives you, but the consequences are still there. And sometimes when we're going through the consequences, we think that God doesn't love us. We think that, you know, somehow or another God left us and he just don't care about us. No, what you're doing, you've asked him to forgive you. He has forgiven you. But there's a consequence that has to, you have to go through that to clear it all up. And but God loves us. He loves us unconditionally. There's nothing that you can do to get out of the love of God. It's impossible. Because if he did, then God would not be, he would be a liar, and he's not a liar. You know that every word is true. And everything that he says is going to work accordingly, just as he said it, because it's already, he knew the beginning to the end. There is nothing in here that he does not know.
all he wants you to do is to trust him. And we have to trust him. And how you trust somebody, you can't trust somebody you don't love. You have to love someone in order to trust them. You got to have enough faith in them to believe that they're going to do what they say that they're going to do. And it takes love through what we're going through. Don't ever allow the enemy to tell you or whisper in your ear words of doubt. Yeah, but where's your God? Or why he ain't done this? Well, you're asking for so-and-so and so. He ain't done that yet. There's nothing that you will ask God for and believe in your heart that you will not get it because he's not a liar. Everything that you request, just know you're not at the end. It's not the end. You're still in the middle. You are in the process. How are you going to give up before you get to the end? You can't. You can't. The answer is in the end. And I remember Janice used to say to me sometimes, she said, you know, God's a 1159 God. That was the 1159 God. Oh, yeah. He ain't going to be there before that clock strikes for 12. It may be 1159 and 1 second away, but he will be there. The answer is there, and you will be tested to the very end. But you got to know he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. And what I've requested and believe in my heart. So you got to believe him. And you can only believe him if you love him. You can only believe him because you know he loves you. And you know that his word is true. And when we work out of that, when you're working out of love, you can do no one harm. It's when you're outside of love that you may say something ugly about someone, or you may talk about someone, or you may make a little joke and think that, oh, it's okay. But even when you're making jokes, God knows your heart. He knows that spirit. So we got to be careful with the words that we use and the things that we say and how we treat people. Because when we're out of love, then we're out of the grace of God. And I was listening to Kenneth Hagin this weekend. And Kenneth Hagin was talking about, you know, you can come before God all you want to. And you can beg and plead all you want to. But if you are out of love and you are out of order, you know, Jesus cannot be your advocate because he cannot advocate for something that's wrong, something that's out of order, and that makes good sense. So that's why we keep asking the same thing over and over and over again. Got to get it straight. So Jesus can, when he go, he see the pureness of your heart. You got to just lay it all down. Come without one plead, and then he can go and advocate for you. And then release. Release. So that's the mission that we're on. Mothers, you got to come without one plea. You got to meet your daughter. Daughter, you got to meet your mother. And you got to come without one plea. Don't come prepared with your statement. Don't come, if she says this, I'm going to say that. Or I tell you one thing, the minute she starts talking crazy, I'm out of there. Don't come with one plea. Don't come with a prepared heart. Come with a clean slate. Come with love. Come with just the pureness of love. Go back to, like our motto said, go back. Recapture that moment when you first looked into her eyes. She was innocent. You were innocent. When you have a baby and you go through all that pain, you're really pretty innocent at the birth. The moment that child is out, you ain't thinking about nothing but just the pain and how you're going to get through this. Your mind is not on unforgiveness. You're in a state. That's a moment. That's a miracle. You're in the spirit of a miraculous moment. Go back to that moment. Go back to when you first looked into her eyes, to your heart. And you know that you know that you know that you love that little girl. You know that.
I know occasionally there have been some mothers say, you know, I didn't feel the love and I didn't feel this, because they really talked themselves into that for 9 months for whatever reason. And there's been many occasions. But we as mothers know that's not true. You can say that all you want. Spirit in you, that you carried a child for 9 months, there's a spirit in you, a connection with you and that child that's unbreakable. And when I say that, the story that comes to my mind is when the two ladies was fighting about the baby, and one says, you know, her baby died, and so she tried to steal the other lady's baby, and the lady said, no, that's my baby. And she said, no, it's my baby. They went to the king. Oh, it's my baby. Back and forth, back and forth. So the king says, okay, we'll settle this. Take a sword, cut the baby in half, and give each of them half of the baby. You take one half, she take the other half, and now we settled. But see, the real mother said, no. Mm-mm. Let her happen. See, a real mother, that love of the real mother will not allow that baby to be harmed, because she had the love for the baby. And when she did that, the other lady didn't say anything. He was willing to let it happen. You know why? Because she had no connection. There was no spiritual bond to that baby. But when you're bonded and it's created out of love, there's a connection that's unbreakable, that you cannot disconnect. So you can let the enemy talk crazy talk in your head all you want, but your heart is still connected to your child, and that child's heart still connected to you. How many times have I heard a mother say to me, you know, she doesn't love me. She doesn't care about me. Oh, yes, she does. No, she doesn't. Yes, she does. I mean, stop the foolishness. Come on. Stop playing the game. All that poor, pitiful me kind of a stuff. If you get down to the real matter, you know that child loves you, and you know you love the child. But if you keep saying stuff like that, the enemy, you giving him a door to just, you're opening up the door for him. You're not even giving him a crack. You're opening up the door wide and say, come on in and have a good time. He can only participate in your relationship with your mother and daughter with your permission. See, you can shut this down anytime you want. But in order to shut it down, you got to change. That's why God said you got to have a renewed mind. And a renewed mind is actually just changing your internal conversation, changing what you're saying to yourself, changing your words, changing the words that will create a different thought, changing the thought that will create a different vision, and changing the vision which will manifest into reality. And out of love, if you stand and know that you know that you know that you know, it's not the end. You got to believe to the end. You can't give up. You got to believe to the end. And you say, well, Doctor, I said, what is the end? I don't know. I don't have a clue. But you got to believe, because God's word is true. He said, if you ask me and believe in your heart and don't doubt it, you shall have what you say. Now, you got to believe that, and you got to stand on that. And if it hasn't come to pass, then it's not the end. If it hasn't come to the pass, then it's still working. If it hasn't come to the pass, you're going to stand and you're going to say, God, it hasn't come. I know it's coming, and I'm standing. We just did a show 2 weeks ago. Mothers, are you standing? You got to stand. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tested. You're out here doing all that you can do. You're serving God. You, Lord, I'm doing everything I humanly possibly can do. It doesn't really matter.
You'll get rewarded for what you do. But are you standing? Are you standing in love? That's what's going to move God. Do you believe God? God moved by faith. He don't move by the work you do. He don't move by the number of times you go to church on Sunday. That don't move God. But what moves God is the fact that you trust him and you believe his word and you took his word and you saw a thought and you took his word and that thought created a vision in your mind and you saw God working it out and you saw the end. See, you can see the end if you believe because the end is his word. He said, whatever you say and believe in your heart, you should have. So the end is already there. If you believe him, the faith will dictate the end. So when we're talking about love, it's a powerful, powerful spirit. There's nothing else. And once you become saved and you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and know that Jesus died, was raised up, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and you promise to serve him and accept him as your Savior, your Lord, you're saved, then you start growing in the process. And then you're challenged like you wouldn't believe. So you have to really get yourself connected to someone that is really a seasoned, what they call an older Christian. And that's why in Titus 2, God is asking us, older women, raise up the young girls. It's our job. It's our job to help the young girls, the young children, because we have wisdom. Wisdom don't come by numbers. Wisdom, you know, you can't be 16 and have the wisdom of an 80-year-old woman. That's impossible. Because that lady has lived a long life. She has had experiences, trials, and errors. She's been tested. She's been in the valley, on the mountain, around the mountain, under the mountain. And out of that, wisdom. So as we grow older, when we're talking about mothers and daughters, the news that God wants us to know, it's not about your biological daughter. It's about the daughters of the world, the daughters that will become our future mothers. And all of us have a responsibility to raise up the daughters, godly women, so that they will pass it on. So because you think, oh, I don't have a daughter, I have sons, I'm not obligated. Oh, yes, you are. You are a daughter, and now you are a woman. You are a mother. You are elderly. And there's a responsibility. Raise up the young girl so that they become our future mothers. There's no way of getting around that. You can't just say me and my four and no more. You know, you got to raise yours and help raise somebody else's too. That's why they said take a village to raise a child. We are a smorgasbord of mothers. We have different levels of wisdom, different experiences. And when you see something and the Lord nudge on your heart to say something, then do that. Because, you know, he sends the laborers to labor for your child as you may labor for someone else's child. I'll tell you an experience the other day. I was going to see Daddy, and I was in the grocery store, and this man walked up to one of the young girls there, and he said, I want to buy, you know how you scratch off tickets? Well, undoubtedly, if you don't have a North Carolina driver's license or state driver's license, you can't tickets out of that machine. And he says, I'm from Florida. And so she says, she called a little boy over, a little boy, like he's about 16, his first job. And she said, you have your driver's license? And he said, why? He said, well, do you have your driver's license? He said, well, do you have yours? No, I don't have mine, but do you have your driver's license? He said, well, yeah. He said, let him use your driver's license. You want to get some tickets out of it. And that thing just really, it just, something just came over my spirit. And he said, but I don't like doing that. She said, just let him use your driver's license. So he gave the man his driver's license. The man put the driver's license inside of the machine and proceeded to buy the ticket. And my spirit said, you need to say something. But I was like, okay, well, Lord, he's already done it now. You need to say something. And I thought, okay. So I was at the self-checkout. I'm checking my stuff out, and I looked at the girl. And I went to walk out. He said, I said, you need to say something. I turned around, and I went back to the young man, said to him, I said, don't ever do that again. He looked at me. He said, well, I didn't want to do it. I said, you follow your spirit. Don't ever do that again. If she wants to use her driver's license, and then she's an older girl, like in her 20s, you know, let her use her driver's license. But don't use your driver's license because your driver's license just went into that machine. You're underage, and if they check to find out, they'll think that you bought lottery tickets, and it's going to put you in a bad position. I said, so from now on, if someone doesn't have their driver's license, your driver's license represents you. Do you understand that? Yeah. Everybody stopped. I mean, the people in the line stopped. The cashier stopped. And they was looking at me like, you know, I guess it was like, well, what business is of yours? But he's 16 years old, and he doesn't know any better. And he said, thank you. I said, yeah, because your mother and your father would not want you to do that. So when I left, I said, well, Lord, I get it. You know, we have really got to pay attention to the children. And we've really got to be that mother for all the children, in order to help them grow up to be healthy, godly mothers and fathers. So when you do things like that, you're only working out of love. Because it took love for me to do that. I thought, well, Lord, they're going to think I'm crazy. Everybody looking at me, you know, like, well, what in the world? You just came from way over there, over here. They was just looking. But he learned a lesson. I bet you he will not do that again. He will not do that again because he heard me, and he didn't want to do it. He kept saying, I don't want to do it, but I'm sure that little girl was his supervisor, and he just didn't know he could say no to her. But he also learned the danger of that. He could take his driver's license and say he bought lottery tickets at 16. So I explained that to him. So that he would understand. Don't ever use your identification for someone else. They don't have it? Okay, too bad. I don't know why, but that just came across my spirit to share that. So last week we talked about mothers, what are you calling your daughters? And we talked about love and how you demonstrate love and the importance of love. But today, I said to you that I was doing this show dedicated to my father, and I want to do that. You know, I know for the past 5.5 years, we've had conversations about mothers and daughters and their relationships, and, you know, we've always talked about the mother and daughter because that's our ministry, that's my anointing, and that's where God has placed me. But today, I'm going to dedicate this part of the show to a man that I call daddy, a man that I'm proud to call daddy. You know, it's, again, for the newcomers that are coming on, my dad is making his preparation to go back to his father from where he came. And let me say this, he's not suffering. God has got him in perfect peace. And if you didn't know, as Cynthia said, if you didn't know, you wouldn't know.
because every time we said, "Daddy, how you doing?" "Oh, I'm okay." I've never heard him grunt. If many of you know what that means, you know, like discomfort in any area. Surrounded him in peace. And for the last 2 weeks, I knew that he was preparing to leave. And there's a whole story behind it, but I'm not going to get into all of that. We're just going to talk about he made up his mind and he decided that he's ready to go. Of course, you know, we as children don't want him to go. So I, you know, was thinking of all kinds of things that I could do and talking to him and thinking, well, we could give him this and this is going to help his health. And I went through a lot of different things in my mind. How can I help Daddy, you know? The last 2 weeks, day and night, we had to, you know, feed him, make sure he's getting his food. So he'd been at the hospital for 2 weeks, and yesterday was the first day that we changed his living quarters, and yesterday was the first day I didn't have to get up early in the morning to go. But then, of course, yesterday afternoon before I prepared to go see him, called my daughter and said that the doctor called and said that just wanted us to know that his organs and everything was shutting down. And, of course, I knew because God told me last week. He said, don't do anything. Don't give him anything. And I couldn't even pray for him to be healed. You know, because God said, he's ready to come. And I just want you to be prepared. I want you to know he's made up his mind. He's ready to come. So he let me know. There's no need to pray for him to be healed. I mean, this is the strangest kind of situation, I guess you could say. I'm like, how do you not pray for him to be healed, you know? But I heard God. I heard him. No, because his will, he's ready to come. And I knew it. You know, I knew. And that's why I asked the Holy Spirit. I just asked him to tell me what was going on. And when you ask, you're going to get an answer. Sometimes it's not what you want to hear, but you're going to get an answer. So when I got the answer and I knew that he had made up his mind, and Daddy was preparing, he kept telling me about me and Angie. We go in there and he's telling us what to do and tell this one that and talking about going different places and reaching for something that I couldn't see, but he could see. And I knew he was reaching for someone or something. So you kind of have to, it was a process. But yet, never heard him grunt. Sleeping all day. Half the time, the doctors are upset because they can't wake him up. And when we come in there, this is just something. When you all come in the room, we can't get him to take his medicine. We can't get him to take this, that, and that. They were just trying to find things to give him for his medicine. They don't have high blood pressure. He don't have arthritis. I mean, he was on no medication. A little diabetes, you know, they sugar level, they would look at that. Some days they give him something. Some days he didn't because it wasn't up. You know, they really knew he was shutting down, but they couldn't figure out what it was. They just, but when you all come in, he opens his eyes and he's talking. One lady said, you know, I've been talking to you for 15 minutes. And then Angie walks in and he starts talking. So when the doctor called us and told us, I never experienced that.
she just went into details. I know that they have an obligation to tell you. She went into details and details, and she just said, you know, she's on a train and there's no turning back, and he's just waiting on the Lord, a Christian doctor. And she said, this is my mission, this is my ministry, and I've been doing this for 27 years or so. She said, and I looked at him, I knew he's just waiting on the Lord. Well, he has two great grandsons, and constantly he calls for them, and they were there yesterday, and he got to talk to them and say, you know, goodbye when they're leaving. And I'm saying all that to say this. The dedication is that always loved us. I can't remember anything that I didn't say, Daddy. And he didn't say, okay. I really can't. And that's the truth. That's why I always thought everything was up and rosy, and I never thought that. I always thought that we were wealthy, because there's nothing that I could ask for that Daddy didn't do. If I wanted it and Mother said no, all I had to do was just wait on Daddy. Because I knew once Daddy got home and I told Daddy, things were going to change. Things were going to change. He was going, well, why can't you do it? You know, well, why can't you have it? Well, I can get that. I remember when I was 14 and a half, and I got my bus license, and they needed someone to drive the bus. And I know you say 14 and a half sounds crazy, but it's the truth, because I've been driving since I was 8 years old on Daddy's lap, and 10 driving by myself to go to my aunt's house. I lived out in the country, so you could drive on those country dirt roads. And Daddy would say, she can do it. And he was an entrepreneur in spirit. She can do it. So when I came home, my mother said, oh, no, I don't know. Her exact words, what fool gave you a bus, but you're going to take it back. I said, well, Mother, I can't take it back. I can't take it back now. I haven't a place to take it. I can't take it back till tomorrow. But in my mind, I knew once Daddy got home, it was going to be all right. So Mother said, well, you have no place to park it. But yet we did, because where we lived, we had land on the other side. So I pulled the bus in. Daddy came home. Daddy said, whose bus? Who brought the bus out there? My mother proceeded to tell him, you wouldn't believe this. Do you know someone? Well, Mr. Fleming. He was one of the bus drivers. Mr. Fleming, that's better to take those kids home. That's a 10-mile radius. A bus full of kids. Can you believe that? Daddy said, well, she got a bus license. He wouldn't ask her to do it if she couldn't do it. He did it. Mother said, well, she cannot keep that bus. We have no place to park it. Daddy said, why not? She parked it right there. He drove it. Why can't she do it? I knew, and I drove bus from that moment on throughout high school. My daddy was an entrepreneur. He was an electrician. That's why I didn't know anything about segregation, because my father was in everybody's house, white, black, whatever, the business, the restaurant. If it was something to be fixed, they called my father. He could do it. And he'd walk away with it fixed. But I was his little boy. I was his boy. I was his helper. So we'd go in places, and I'm sitting at the counter when Afro-Americans didn't have the right to sit at the counter. But I would sit there as I watched my dad fix on the ice machine or the freezer or the air conditioner, whatever it was, I'm sitting there. He hand Daddy this, give Daddy that. I was that boy. I was his helper when he wired a house. And
I can't tell you how many houses my daddy had. I go up and he said, go up there and pull the wire and send this wire down to daddy. And I go up there and I pull the wire and send it down. And I became a little electrician, to be honest with you. I could do things because I was trained by him. One day I almost fell through the top of the roof of a house, the sheetrock, walking. I missed my stepping because you have to step on the actual wood beams and a slip. And that, you all right? Said, yeah. But we was in this house, and it was a beautiful house. And I said to him, I said, Daddy, I said, when I get married and I build my house, I said, I want you to put an intercom into my house. I like this. Daddy said, okay, I'll do that. When you build your house, I'll be there, and I'll put the intercom in for you. I probably was about 10. In the meantime, we were building our house. And this is a house that my dad built with his hands. He would go work all day, help someone else. And then he would come back at night. He would eat his supper. And he would say, all right, Daddy going over to the house. Lay brick, you want to go? Yeah. Me and Mother get in the car, and we drive to where we're building the house, and we would shine the light from the car, and I would hand him brick as he would brick up the front of the house. But prior to that, we sit down and we drew out the plan. He was good at drawing out plans. My daddy was not a formally educated man, but he was a tradesman. He knew how to draw blueprints. He just had that spirit, and he worked for himself. See, that's where I get that from. I got a lot of that from him, that taking that chance, that it would take a chance. If it's to do, he would do it. He's like, you know, hey, just do it. When I got married and I was building my house, and I called my daddy and I said, Daddy, how do I get a price? And my dad said, you'll know the person who's going to build that house, the right person, when they can tell you, when they sit down and talk to you, how much it's going to cost within a few thousand dollars, give or take, to build that house. They will not have to walk away and go think about it and figure up. No, they will tell you right then and there. And until you get that person, after talking to two or three people, that one person came, and the man told me, this is what it's going to cost to build a house. I said, okay, I called Daddy. The whole time they were building that house, Daddy would come up, look, and I said, Daddy, I want you to wire this house for us. I want you to wire my house. I said, remember you told me that you was going to do an intercom system? He said, I remember. And he put the intercom system into that house for me. He was a man of his word. If he tell you he's going to do something, he will do it. He would take from our house to help somebody else. You know, would aggravate my mother. But that's what he would do. He taught me entrepreneurship. He was always selling something, doing something innovative. And I got hooked into that spirit. My mother wanted to live kind of on the safe side. We were on the adventurous side, me and daddy. So now he's coming to a point where he's getting ready to make a transition. And the love that he displayed for people, God is honoring him now. I came home last night. I went to see him last night after the doctor talked to me and Angie talked, and I went on out there to see him, and I looked at him, and I said, I asked the Lord to give me strength. And I looked at him, and I said, Daddy, because Wednesday, I made sure that we went over the sinner's prayer. I just didn't want nothing left undone. I just wanted us to do it again. And I said to him, Daddy, you know you're saved. You know that you're going to heaven. And he just reached over with his right hand and grabbed my hand and squeezed it and said, yes.
We talked about a couple other things, and I needed a, yet he just reached over, grabbed my hand, and said, yes. But when the doctor said, he's shutting down fast. And I went to him, and I asked him the question that I always said, Daddy, how you feeling? You feel okay? So, I feel fine. Never anything but that thing you'll ever see. And I looked at him, and I said, Daddy, I want to tell you something. I want you to know. I don't want you to leave here without knowing. And I know that you know that I love you and that I appreciate you. I appreciate you for being my daddy. And I thank you for all the things that you have done for me. I want you to know that. Do you understand me? He nodded his head yes. Do you know that I love you? And I know that you love me. Not a said. And he said, for a said, yes, I know you love me. I said, I just want that clear. And I just want you to know, you made up your mind that you want to go, I release you. Because I know you're going home. But I came home last night and I rejoiced and I praised God. And I thank God that he has not suffered. Even though he had a traumatic experience, God has kept him. God has honored him with love. And like I told Angie this morning, we have got to rejoice in that pain. They're pumping him with medicine. They have not given him one thing for pain. God is good. And I'm dedicating that to my father, my daddy. Because the love he displayed is the love that he's experiencing now. And that did volumes for me. And that's why I told Angie, I said, we have to just thank. And God have him wrapped up in his arms and just have him in a ball of love. Has he been a perfect man? No, you don't have to be perfect, but he is perfect now in the will of God. He has displayed enough love. He has put enough in the bank that he's getting a return on his sowing. And I thank God for him. I thank God for him. And I thank you guys. That's the dedication to my daddy. And one other thing I want to say. Not only was he good to us, my mother went through a couple years of illness, and she had she was on dialysis at home. She was fortunate, and he was there. He'd get up in the morning, fix her breakfast, give her dialysis. He'd come back at 10. He'd go to work, come back at 10, make sure she's okay. He came back at lunch, change her dialysis, get her lunch. He came back at 4. My dad did that every day. So when my mother left, I made a dedication to my daddy at her funeral. Because he did all that he could do. And as I had to marry somebody tomorrow, I said, do it, because you have done all that you could do. And you treated her good. And that's all we can ask. So for me, I thank him. I thank him, and I thank God. So I'm going to open up the line. I know it's short, but I had to. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How are you?
Good morning. This might not be a good time. I hear noise in the background.
You hear noise in the background?
Yeah, this is some. Can you finish with that? But anyway, basically, what I wanted to say to you guys is that don't wait until you get to this point and then decide, oh, I need to do something. I'm just glad that I've had a good relationship with my daddy all of my life. Never, ever been out of relationship with him. Never, ever talked back to him. Never, ever. He tried to spank me one time, and he couldn't do it. But other than that, we've always had a good relationship. Of course, I'm an only child. And, you know, I was raised that you respect your parents. So the relationship was very important to me. And when I was younger, he and my mother asked me, do not put me in a nursing home. And I said to them, you know, I'll try not to, but don't ask me to do that, because if something happens and I have to, I don't want to feel bad about it. So I would say to them, don't ask me to do that, but I will try not. I said, but the one thing I will do for you, if I have to put you there, I will not put you there and leave you. Now, that I can promise you. Well, my mother didn't have to go to a nursing home. You know, she took sick, and God did the same thing. God gave me an opportunity the day before to talk to my mother, and I shared how much I loved her, and she was the best mother I could ever have. And I thank God the day he honored me with the same thing with my daddy. But we had to put daddy in long-term care in September. I came home. Most people don't know, but I've been here. And I told him I would not leave. So I've been here with him. I laid everything down just to make sure that he would be okay and know that I wouldn't leave him. And he just, if I went away, go back to Florida to do some work and come back, he's like, I miss you. I was just wondering when you was coming back. I'm, Daddy, I'm back. I'm here. I told you. So I did very little. My job was here with him. And I am so glad. From September to now, nonstop, we have had some fun. We have had some fun. And I just couldn't see my daughter going through this by herself. And I'm in Florida. There's nothing more important than your family. And I cannot, like I tell everybody, but you're going to just leave? Yep. I'm going to take care of my daddy, to my word, and I'm going to do that. There's nothing on this earth that's more important. And I cannot get on radio and get in the counseling session and telling individuals how you must honor your family, and I don't do that. I made a promise to him, and I laid it down. I laid it down. And I'll get back on it full force when God permits. But right now, I still do counseling. I still do ministry, and I still do the things that God wants me to do. But I do it here with him. And I wouldn't have changed one thing. Cannot wait and think that we're going to get something at the end if you hadn't put something in. See, he put something in. He made some love deposits. And I am honoring him for that, as well as Angie and Bella and Jared and Josh. My son-in-law is there. These kids, he has not want for anything. And we have gone to that nursing home every day. If I'm not there today, Angie's there. Sometimes we're there every day. They said, well, my God, we know y'all coming. Yep, that's my job. I never mentioned it on this radio. I never said anything about it, but that's my job. My job is to be here every day. I'm not putting him in your care and thinking that you're going to take care of him. I go every day, every day. One lady said, we just know, we don't know nothing else. We know you're coming. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Because, see, I made a promise. He made a promise to me when I couldn't feed myself, when I couldn't clothe myself. I never wanted for anything. Never. To make sure that I gave him a return on his money. So that's to my father. He's not dead. He's living. And he's in peace. God only knows when the end will be. And when the end, it will be the end, but it will be a new beginning. But thank you for listening. And, you know, you have a great week. And I'll talk to you all next week. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
That's our show. Whatever you do next week and whatever you do for the remaining of the day, do it in the spirit of love. God bless you. Love you. Bye-bye.